We've been hearing today about what we can do to protect biodiversity in an increasingly urbanised world. But what can wildlife, and specifically animals, do to help themselves? Professor Philip James is an ecologist from the University of Salford, and he joins us now. Hi, Philip.
Hello.
So what are the challenges specifically to animals when areas get more and more urbanised?
Well, cities in general, they differ from the rural areas in a number of ways. Compared to rural areas, urban areas, which we can think of as being landscapes dominated by concrete, brick, tarmac, they're usually warmer, they're usually full of more artificial noise, they have artificial lighting regimes, more chemical pollutions, and they have relatively little vegetation. And what vegetation is there is often quite exotic. And furthermore, cities harbour a different suite of parasites and predators, and the food that the wildlife can gain tends to be richer in fats and proteins. So all of these things come together to cause stress within wildlife, and you can see that in some of the physiological stress signs, looking at blood composition, for example, and their stress hormones. It also means that there tends to be a selection towards certain types of animals, omnivores and frugivores, the fruit eaters, rather than insectivores and carnivores.
So what are the options for animals, you know, when, say, the landscape that they've been living in, then suddenly a load of houses are plonked on it? What can they do?
Well, in general terms, they have three options. They can either run away, they can adapt, or they can die. An animal which is able to move could do that to get to a nearby habitat which is still providing what it needs in terms of food and somewhere to breed, somewhere to nest. But if an animal is not able to move for whatever reason, then it would eventually die out as a result of starvation or through some other cause, disease, poison, predation, unless it is able to adapt.
And what are some examples of animals adapting? Obviously, I don't really want to think about them dying. What are the changes that happen?
This is generally covered by an idea called plastic behaviour. And plastic behaviour is this idea that within a life cycle of or the lifetime of an individual species, it can change something about its behaviour. It might be the way that it responds to artificial light or the way that it responds to sound.
Are there any particular examples of this happening?
Yeah, if we think about birds and what they tend to do, if they're living in an urban environment, we tend to find that their song changes in one of three ways. They either sing louder, and that is actually the most common thing that they do, or they change the frequency of their song. Typically, the notes, the sound of an urban area are fairly low pitched, and so a bird can raise its tone above that low pitch. Or it can change the time that it sings, the time of day. It might sing earlier or later when it's quieter. And if we think about the great tit, which is a common urban bird, it's been shown that in noisy compared to quiet conditions, the great tit song is shorter, faster, and at a higher pitch.
We are urbanising at quite an incredible pace. Certainly in London, I see more and more blocks coming up. There's more and more developments, I know, in the Cambridgeshire area and many, many other places across the UK. Can animals actually keep up with this? Can they adapt at a fast enough speed?
Well, some can and some can't. Those that have got this plastic behaviour ability, those that can change their behaviour rapidly enough, these are the ones that are able to survive within the urban areas. It might be that they change their food source. It might be that they change when they do things, the time of day that they're active. It might be, as I've already described with the great tit, that the way that they sing. These changes in plastic behaviour can occur very, very quickly, and they can change more than once within the lifetime of an individual bird or an individual mammal, for that matter. So go back to the idea of the great tit. It could adapt the way that it sings because of a particular environmental issue that it's coping with today. If that changed tomorrow, it would start to adapt again.
Does this mean that they're kind of going to be okay and we don't need to worry about the animals?
The ones that are able to adapt, they're going to be okay. And what we find is that across the world, the fauna and flora of cities tends to be becoming more the same. And it's the species that you find in cities are more like those in another city than they are in the countryside around about those cities.
So maybe there is hope and wild cities are possible. Thank you very much to Philip James and also to our other studio guest, Mark Goddard.